Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to be together. We have so many that are out due to various challenges that they are facing. But thanks to the wonder of modern technology, we have the opportunity to share with not only them, but with anyone else who may benefit. So we thank you for the time in which we live. We thank you for the good things that you are still doing, because there are many of us here in this country who can say, God, we still trust. And what a fitting opening to today's message. So thank you, Lord. Open our hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that if you've ever been to one of those sort of team building exercises that they make you go to, in school, I've been to one in school, been to one at work. I don't think we did this at the one at work, but there was one of the things they used to make you do called the trust fall, right? Where you had to fall back and trust that the person behind you was going to catch you. And for some of us, for all of us maybe, but for some of us in particular, that's a little hard. That's hard to do because we don't. We really don't want to trust people that much. We've had reasons not to. Now most people go ahead, most people manage that, and manage it because what we're really trusting in that situation is not so much the person behind us, but the structured event. And the fact that we have other people around us, and that even if they love to let us fall, they're not going to do it because it would make them look bad among all the other people. And so we get through it. We go ahead and do it. And also the consequences, get it out in a minute, consequences aren't that severe. A little uncomfortable, but we live. But we learn early on to limit our trust in people. And it's not always a matter of integrity. Sometimes it's a matter of just not being sure if they're up to the task. I don't think my dad will mind me using it as an example this way. I love my dad. He is the an absolute example of steadfastness and integrity and wisdom, and somebody that I still seek wisdom from time to time. But I wouldn't give him my computer to fix it. Why? Not because of his integrity, but because that's not his skill set. He wouldn't be able to do that for me. I wouldn't trust that to him. I might, I suppose, but what he didn't have to do is he had to go find somebody else to fix it and bring it back to him. It took lots and lots of times of lifting up Linda and getting her where she needed to be before I think she was completely comfortable with me doing that. Because it's hard to get over the feeling that something's going wrong. It wasn't my integrity that she doubted, it was my ability to do what needed to be done. But yeah, sometimes people aren't trustworthy. And the world teaches us that anybody can be bought, and unfortunately, a lot of times it's true. And our trust is often betrayed. But the Lord actually was teaching me something this past couple of weeks. I was praying about a particular situation where we've been praying for redemption for an individual. And And I had reason for unforgiveness, but, you know, I kept telling myself, well, it's not unforgiveness, I just don't trust them. And, you know, largely, that's true. I can't say there was no unforgiveness. The Lord kind of confirmed me with that, too. But it really had a lot to do with trust. You know, the example I give is I've used another animal before, but I like this one better. It's like a grizzly bear. Grizzly bear is a beautiful creation of God, and he has his place. But I wouldn't keep one for a pet, because the nature of that bear is predatory. And he's going to behave according to his nature. And so I'm not gonna trust that bear in my backyard. But the Lord opened my eyes to something, and it's something that I have taught and will teach again. And it's a simple statement that trust has to be given before it can be earned. And he told me, if you believe in, and I'm, he didn't tell me this in words, but this is the gist of what I got. You pray for redemption and you ask for me to change this person's life, and then when you see changes, you don't believe it. You're going to have to open up a little bit. You're going to have to show some trust, just like you teach. You've got to give a little bit in order for it to be earned. But what about God? What about when it comes to trusting God? Now, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but when we learn to trust God, it's easier to put ourselves in those situations because we have God, and God has our back, and we know it. But what about trusting God? Well, for some people, that's an existential challenge. They're not even sure if he's really there. And if he is really there, is it really good? It sure is a lot of evil in the world. And if he's really there, he's really good, does he really care about me? Maybe I'm too bad. Maybe I'm too insignificant. And then we all have those personal challenges. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me, we ask? Or why am I in this condition? One of those questions I asked for many years. And how can I reconcile these things to the idea of a God who's good? And they're real questions. We have to work through those things. What is it? What are we saying when we talk about trust? Well, if you look at dictionary.com, it simply says reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, etc. of a person or thing. Confidence. Or is it verb form to rely upon or place confidence in someone or something? What do we mean when we say the word? We're talking about integrity. And that's closely related to truth. If you've got somebody that is always telling lies, honesty is the foundation of trust. If you've got somebody that's always telling lies, or even if they only told you one lie, once they told you one lie, then the question arises. What else did they lie about? What else are they telling me that's not true? And so your foundation begins to crumble. You know, in the prayer request, we had the discussion about somebody who was being told to question the Bible. It was written by men. This is why it is so important that we treat the Bible as the truth, the whole truth. Everything in it's true. Because if we're going to call it the Word of God, once we begin to say, well, maybe this part isn't true, well, you've destroyed the whole thing. It no longer holds. It's no longer trustworthy. Well, we trust for protection. We put our money in the bank. because we trust that they're going to, it's still going to be there when we need it. And we see what happens in the economy when that trust gets eroded. Everything collapses because everybody pulls their money out and you've got major problems. We trust in our police or our military to protect us. And we see what happens when that gets eroded and people no longer believe in that. And we trust in our families to do the same thing. We expect the people that we trust will have our best interests at heart. And then we also need to know that they have the ability. We already talked about that. So what about God? Does he have all those things? Of course he has all those things. He is the truth. And he is able. And he is trustworthy. That's why Proverbs, the verse for today, the one that we quote, or the passage that we quote all the time here, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Or rather, I should misread that. He will make your paths straight. I'm remembering the King James rather than actually reading what's on the page. Praise God. But he says, trust in the Lord. If you read that literally, it would be trust in Yahweh. Specifically Yahweh. Now, Solomon is writing in a pagan culture. And of course, we still have places like that. We still have people who believe in other gods. But he's saying specifically this one. Trust in Yahweh. No other God is trustworthy. No other God is even real. Well, there's certainly some demonic forces out there that are pretenders. But not only are false gods not trustworthy, neither is anything else that we can substitute and put in God's place. We can't trust in money. A lot of times we can't trust in people to do what they're supposed to do. We talked about that. But we can always trust in God. Literally, it says trust toward. In everything, make him your focus. In every decision that you make. Now, does that mean that he's going to meet our expectations? That he's always going to do what we think he should do? No, it doesn't. But we can take our cue from Job, who said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, I will hope in him. He says, no matter what happens, my trust is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. Think about Abraham. Abraham, of course, he was Abram at the time that God first spoke to him. But he told him to leave his place of security, leave his home, leave his family, and go to this place. And he doesn't even tell him where he's going to take him yet. He just says, I'm going to show you where to go. Right now, you just need to go. Doesn't even tell him where he's going. He doesn't have any children, but God says, you're going to be the father of nations. And finally, he does have a child. He has two children, but that's another story for another time. He didn't trust God, and that kind of got him in trouble. But he finally does have Isaac, and he's 99 when he has Isaac. And then a few years later, God says, oh, I want you to take this child and sacrifice him. But Abraham's trust never wavers. Hebrews tells us he knew that God was able to raise him up from the dead if that was necessary. So he did what God told him to do. Think about Joseph. After he has these big dreams, he gets sold into slavery. But he still continues to be faithful. And then he gets accused falsely by the man's wife and gets thrown into prison. But he remains faithful. He interprets those dreams in the prison. But then when the guy gets out, who survives, he forgets him. He's still there. And yet, when the time comes, God uses him. God raises him up and uses him to save the entire family of Israel and bring them to eventually the place of redemption. Think about David. David is appointed to be king by the prophet Samuel. He's the youngest. He's a shepherd. He's the lowest of the low in that society, and yet he's anointed to be king. And he's taken into the King Saul's service, so it looks like he's on his way. He is successful in battle. Everybody is cheering him on, singing songs about him. And then all of a sudden, his success becomes the very root of his seeming downfall, and Saul tries to kill him, starts chasing him around the country, chases him out of the country. But David's trust doesn't waver. You can read in the Psalms how sometimes he questions, but he holds fast to the trust of the Lord, and God delivers him, and God keeps his promise. Or think about Paul. Paul has that dramatic conversion that we read about in Acts chapter 9. I think I'm getting that right. And where he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. And before that, he's a persecutor of Christians. Now he's been converted. He becomes a Christian, becomes the greatest evangelist of the time. And yet, he's persecuted everywhere. He gets beat up everywhere he goes, thrown out, shipwrecked, snake bit, you name it, he went through it. He was probably martyred. But you know what? If you asked him, he would say it was all worth it. And now we have a good chunk of the New Testament that's written by him that we still refer to today to teach us how to live a godly life. But there are things, man, this would teach you, all of these examples will teach us something. There are things that we can't trust. We cannot trust that things will be hunky-dory, that we'll always have a good life just because we believe in God. We can't trust God to act contrary to his nature, to do things that would be, for lack of a better word, ungodly. He's not going to do those things. We can't trust God to necessarily do what we want, but we can trust him to do what we need. And we certainly aren't going to be able to trust him with the things that we refuse to give him in the first place. Trust that we won't give him can't be earned. But what we can trust in his integrity. We can trust that he will keep his word. If we look back in Numbers chapter 23, here Balaam, the prophet, is speaking after he's been called to curse the Israelites. And I believe this is the second time he's been called. And he says this, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. What he said, let me rephrase that. What he has said, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it so, make it good? Jesus called himself the truth in John 14, 6. We can trust in his love. That verse that we like to quote out of Romans chapter 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can believe that. He loves you. He loves us so much. He delights in us. Take comfort in that. Take peace in that. We can trust in His holiness. We can know, as James tells us in chapter 1, verse 13, that God cannot be tempted by evil. Neither does He tempt anyone with evil. He is good. He has no darkness in Him. First John, chapter 1, verse 5, says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. We can trust in His ability. After all, He's the creator of the universe. He spoke it into existence. There is nothing in practical terms. There actually are things that God can't do. We talked about it a little bit. He can't be other than who He is. He can't act contrary to His own nature. But in practical terms for us, there is nothing that He can't do. There is nothing that He does not know. And so having all knowledge and all power, and knowing that He loves us, and knowing that He's good, knowing that He is the very definition of good, we can trust in His ability. Because of all of these things, we can trust Him fully. And He says, trust Him with all of your heart. Don't hold anything back. And we all do, to some degree or another. Maybe it's a relationship. Those we value, it can go either way. It can be those that we value, those that we're not willing to put aside because they don't please Him. Or it might also be those that we fear because we're not trusting Him. That's kind of where I fell. We're not trusting Him to be able to make it right, or to be able to be our protection in case that maybe things don't go the way that they should. In both cases, we need to trust Him with that relationship. It might be finances. We fear to answer the call on our lives because of what it might cost us. But that might be more than finances. Or we fear to give as He has shown us that we ought to, because we're afraid we won't have enough. And I tell you, I still question my own actions in this area. I ask myself, am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? Am I making the decisions I'm making out of trust in God? Or am I making them out of a false trust in my own ability or in somebody's ability to pay me, or however you want to put that. My trust, regardless of what happens on this earth, regardless of what I do, my trust needs to be in God. The decisions I make need to be the ones that He wants me to make, whether they make sense to me or not. Or maybe it's our possessions. I've told the story before about how when I first bought the house that we live in now, how when I thought about dedicating it to the Lord, that I'm trying to find the right word. But I was sort of uncomfortable with that at some level. And I was like, well, okay, Lord, now I know I have to do it. I didn't have this without you giving it to me. Everything I got, you gave to me one way or another. So then I made a point of dedicating it to the Lord. That's his house. He can do what he wants to. He wants to take it away from us, it's his. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean toward your own understanding. You know, people have made the statement before, he's God and we're not. But sometimes our understanding is all we have. And so we go ahead and we act on it. I don't know that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but make sure that it's informed by God's Word. If that understanding is informed by God's Word, chances are it's all right, because you know God gave you his Word, so thereby God guided you into that decision. Sometimes it's not that clear, but where it is, you've already got your roadmap, and you know what to do. But when it comes down to it, what we have to do is choose his way over our way. And one of the ways that we do that is, of course, by knowing what his way is, but also by spending time with him, being in prayer, being open to hear from him, letting him speak to our hearts. Because we can't see the big picture. What looks right to us, from our perspective, may not be, because we can't see everything. When things happen in our lives that we don't understand, we trust him because we know that we can't see everything. But he has the whole picture. He's all-knowing. Whatever is going on, it didn't surprise him. I know I say it all the time, but it bears repeating. It didn't surprise him. He knew it was coming, and he knows the outcome. And if you belong to him, he is going to bring good out of it. Whether that's here or later, only he knows. But he promises, and we can stand on it. We need an eternal perspective to understand these things. And once we get to that place, we're going to see everything differently. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Not just some of your ways. We kind of heard a little bit about that in the Sunday school. Everything we do. To think that we do anything without his permission is nothing but arrogance. James talks about that in chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. He says, you know, woe to you that say we're going to go and do this or that. You ought to be saying, if the Lord's willing, we ought to go do this or that. But everything is under his control anyway. So it's arrogance for us to think that we do anything without his permission. So let's go ahead and ask first. Be constantly aware of his presence. I've been praying about that a lot too. I've been going out for walks several mornings a week. And one of the things I asked him as I was out on one of those walks, as I was thinking, I need to be used to, usually I walk and my mind just sort of wanders everywhere, and I'm not really being purposeful with that time. But I got to talk to the Lord, actually the same day he was talking to me about trust and how I needed to do. I said, I really want to get to a place where it's like you're walking here next to me. And I know you're with me. I know you're with me, but if there was a physical physical person standing next to me, walking beside me, I'd be talking with them and listening to them. I said, I want it to be like that with you. So that I'm constantly aware of you like you were standing next to me. And know that he is willing and able. And in the absence of specific direction, look to his word. And it says then that he will straighten your path. God will bring us where he needs to. And this has brought me such comfort as I've come to realize it. It's not to say that we don't have to try, that we don't have to, we obviously need to be purposefully serving him and purposefully trying to move in the right direction. But God will use even our missteps, even our mistakes, even our flaws, and he will bring us where he means for us to be. If we're putting our trust in him, he's going to straighten the path. Now, I would say that we have some say in how difficult that journey is going to be, to the degree that we're willing to put it in his hands and trust him. The path might be hard in any case, but we can certainly make it harder by trying to make our own and go our own way. If everything we do, everything we think, everything we feel must be submitted to him. And when we live that way, I can't promise you you'll have no trouble, but I can promise you you'll be able to handle it a lot better. We are facing difficulties still. We've lost more loved ones over the past few years. We've got so many illnesses going on. Kathy, Donna and Anita, Priscilla, Kimmy, the stuff they're going through. It just never seems to end. None of us in this room is without some kind of challenge that we're facing. But the question is, how are we going to respond to it? As individuals, how are we going to respond to it? Yeah, we ask our questions. That's okay. Even the psalmists and the prophets did that. It's written down for us. You can read it. They had their times of questioning too. And I certainly have. And we ought to check our hearts. And sometimes we are dealing with the consequences of our own actions. But what we need to do is just be sure. We can't necessarily go back and change the past, but we can sure make sure that we're right from here on out. Just be sure you're right with God right now. And let him take care of the rest. And hold on to what you know. Remember the good that he has done. And there's not anyone in here that God hasn't done good for. And know that he's not finished with you yet. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And he will, just as he promised, work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Grieve as you must, that's okay, it's healthy. But trust him. As a church, we have the same calling, we have the same responsibility. We need to examine ourselves, and we need to believe what he has said. We cannot allow our circumstances to grow seeds of doubt. We need to hold fast. We need to be faithful. And I'm so thankful that we have been. All of you that are here today, and some of you who are not here today due to circumstances beyond your control, have been faithful and have stayed with us. And I'm so thankful for that. And I believe that God will reward it. Remember all the things that he's done for us so far. He's given us the place. He's given us the vision. He's given us the tools that we need. He's met every need that we have. So we got a choice. We can give in, we can throw in the towel and say this is too much. We can give in to the grief, we can give in to the despair, shut the doors, sell the assets, and walk away. But we choose instead to trust. Keep doing what we know to do and believe that the Lord's purposes will be accomplished. Being diligent with what we know, choosing to trust Him with what we don't know. And yes, in our personal relationships, which is part of our being in a family, being in God's family together. Trust is part of a loving relationship. And we've got to be willing to offer a little up before it can be earned. Are people going to fail? Yeah, people are going to fail. Sometimes they're going to fail repeatedly. But for the sake of the unity that God desires, we've got to take that risk. But when we're trusting in God, when we're trusting in God first, He will always be there to break the fall. Trusting Him first allows us to trust others. When we trust in Jesus, we can know that He will break our fall. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can trust you. That you have amply proven it by what you did and by what you continue to do in our midst. Now we have our questions and we have our challenges. But you have always been there. You've always been good. And you've always been faithful. And we choose to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.